our national bird had become the ostrich.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see. If ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Good morning and welcome to Eco Talk, and we are coming to you from San Francisco, where this program is being recorded during World Environment Day week. We're turning into the whole month of June because there are so many green luminaries in the Bay Area, thousands of them, over 100 mayors, all kinds of accords being signed, and I'm grabbing all the people who I find most interesting to come into the studio with me, and we have a really interesting combination of guests today. In our first half hour, we'll be speaking with some women who are eco-activists extraordinaire, one working right here in the Bay Area, another from El Salvador. And in the second half, we'll be taking a bit of a turn and going to speak with Teddy Roosevelt. Couldn't wait to say that. It's actually Theodore Roosevelt IV, yes, a descendant of the late great Green President, and he'll be talking about republicanism, environmentalism, and global warming. So welcome to the show. We're going to jump right in because we have a lot to cover. My first guest is Redwood Mary. She is a co-founder of the Women's Global Green Action Network. We'll also be meeting Marta Benavides. She is a Salvadoran activist, theologian, and educator, and, of course, an ecologist. So welcome, both of you. And let's start with you, Marta. Tell us about the actual network that you started. Tell me about founder. You are the founder, co-founder of the Women's Global Green Action Network. What is that? When did it start?
Yes, this is Redwood Mary, and thank you. Good morning, everyone. And I really appreciate being on the show today because we have some important information to share with the audience. We founded Women's Global Green Action Network in November 2004, and officially it was launched at the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development 13th session in New York. And what we're about is we provide a needed association and space for grassroots women organizers and activists to exchange information, join forces, and amplify their collective voices. Now, what is basically happening is, beginning back in 1992 at the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, the Agenda 21 document was signed by nations all over the world. And that was basically a program of local action for communities to guide communities in terms of working and planning for the environment. The UN World Environment Day basically came out of that. And here in San Francisco, the focus is on green cities. So there's mayors coming from all over the world, dignitaries, and regular citizens who people usually like to call them activists, but to me they're people who are concerned about their own environment in their communities, about keeping the water clean, the air, climate change.
What's so radical about that?
It's something that's I was taught by my grandparents, to take care of your surroundings, your neighborhood.
Yeah, and we're going to hear again from Teddy Roosevelt, who was taught the same thing. So it really does cross across all geopolitical boundaries.
So basically, the governments of the world back in 1996 at the UN Habitat II conference in Istanbul came to the realization that these environmental problems are so huge and so big that governments alone can't solve them. And what came out of that was the Habitat II agenda, asking for people and governments and local communities and the business sector to get together and start making some type of collaborations in order to see what we could do as a community together in all sectors of the world.
It's been an interesting combination during World Environment Week. You sort of see the Birkenstock crowd and the briefcase crowd,
right.
You know, the mayors and the government workers and the activists and everything in between. But it's a really nice collaboration and a really great spirit.
And one thing that Women's Global Green Action Network had did was saw that there was a when the UN had brought these meetings together, they have included civil society. And what that means, they have asked business, farmers, indigenous people, youth, and women as major groups to come together and be part of the participatory framework. And they acknowledge also that although women's access to natural resources is strongly linked to poverty eradication and sustainability, the central role of women in managing and restoring biodiversity is often ignored or exploited. So these landmark conferences that I just talked about really regarded the full and equal participation of women as a fundamental prerequisite for sustainable development. So when this conference, when the United States was chosen for the first time by the UN to host a World Environment Day event, we came together and noticed that the women's voices were not there. So we, through our international advisory board and our local partners here in the San Francisco Bay Area, which included a company, Lunabar, who makes
energy bars.
Energy bars.
Part of the and division
we
of
have
Bar.
Global Exchange. We have Sierra Club members. We have so many women that came together behind us to put together an event called Celebrating Women's Leadership in Sustainable Development, which was a UN United Nations World Environment Day event that we convened here in San Francisco. And this highlighted the central role of that women play in promoting sustainable development and environmental stewardship. And we had the Asian Pacific Environmental Network, Bay Area Coalition for Headwaters, Breast Cancer Action, International Development Exchange, International Museum of Women, a People's Grocery, a local food co-op in Oakland, Rainforest Action Network, Silicon Valley Toxics Association. I could go on with a whole list of partners. And it was all these people, primarily women from these organizations, came together, and we had men think tanks help us put this incredible event together with music and highlighting women's perspectives in sustainable development. And we have Marta here in the studio with us, who was one of our guest speakers.
And yes, Marta is a Salvadoran activist, if you're just joining us, a theologian and an educator, founder of Eco House and a recipient of the 2003 UN's Prize for Women's Creativity in Rural Life. Thanks for joining us also. First of all, founder of Eco House. Of course, my green eyes go right to that. What is that?
In one of the very small indigenous towns in El Salvador, which right now, because of the whole economic, cultural, social, political environment, is very violent. It's the most violent town in El Salvador, and El Salvador right now is considered to be one of the most violent countries in Latin America. We have an ecological house, and when we're talking about ecology, we're talking also about your internal understandings of what you're here on Earth for and how you relate amongst peoples and also with the environment. And we create possibilities so that we can create a different kind of society. So it's all based within the framework of the UNESCO Decade for Education of Culture of Peace. And within that, the respect for the environment, for Mother Earth, and for all that is creation is one of the major aspects. So we do a lot of work with the communities, urban and rural relations also, but we also do a lot of work with universities. For example, on the 16th this month, we are having a program to work on the marshes, on the wetlands, because wetlands are not very much understood in, by regular people. What is the role of the wetlands? And mostly people see it as a dumping grounds or places that are not important, but that's places where a lot of the biodiversity is, maintained. And so this is a lot of the things that we do, and we work with all ages and people who can read, people who cannot read, and it's a way of being, really.
So is it a way of teaching, Eco House?
It's a way of living what you teach and teaching what you live. Mm-hmm. So it's in our countries, we call it living museum, in a sense.
Living museum.
Mm-hmm.
What is the overall state of the environment in El Salvador and eco-consciousness today?
In reality, it's not very good. And what happens is that, we have always seen the natural environment as something that we can exploit. Just as sometimes we think that women can be exploited, children can be exploited. So we have extended that kind of understanding to nature. And at this point, El Salvador is at the verge of becoming a desert. And you hear a lot of people having come to the United States without documents and, wrongly being called illegal. That's part of the environment, you see. And at this point, we have to really create the whole understanding about water is a major issue, not just because the privatization of water and people don't have access to that, but because water is most like 90% of the water is polluted in El Salvador.
We are speaking with two women who are part of a celebration, World Environment Week, celebrating women's leadership in sustainable development. We'll continue our conversation with them right after these messages. You're listening to EcoTalk on the Air America Radio Network.